What a way to finish the year. What a way to come together on the last day of the year. Finish it in the house of the Lord, in the presence of God. Finish it the way we started it. We've trusted in God for the whole year, and we are trusting God as we finish the year. And so I welcome us to today's service. Ask us to bring our hearts, our minds, and our thoughts together as we begin this worship, this service of worship. And let us open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Father, whenever we lift our voices, we lift our hands, whenever we lift our hearts to you, thank you, Lord, that you equip us with the grace that we will worship in truth and in spirit. That, Lord, as we lift our hearts to you, they will be, as it were, instruments of worship. As we lift our voices to you, Lord, there will be a sweet sounding praise to you. We ask you, Lord, therefore, that this service be a place of your presence. Infuse with your spirit. Let this be your dwelling place where, as we lift our praises to you, your presence resides. That we be a blessing one to another as we commune in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We will go to musical worship, and as they say, is Saul among the prophets. Today I'm joining the music team. If you hear anything that's out of key, don't blame the team. you know where that will be coming from. And when we're done with the music, we will get the readings and notices and so on. And here we go.
Thank you. bless us beyond description. So many ways in which you have blessed us. Lord, your hand has guided and led us thus far, and we give you praise this morning.
Yeah.
things are provided by God in our lives. So this morning, let us with thankful hearts thank Him. Either we can thank Him in our hearts, or if you would want to speak up and praise Him and thank Him, let's do that as well. Amen.
Father, we give you thanks for the past year that we look to you, Father, for the gift of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to come on this place in the year to come. Father, we thank you, we praise you that you bless us, that you lead us, that you guide us, and we give you all the praise and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for your guiding, unseen hand given through your Holy Spirit. We bless you for his coming, and we thank you for his risen, right life, and one day we shall see him. Amen.
Thank you that you are set us up for services. Your mercies have been new every morning, right from the first to the last day of this year, Lord. We thank you for your mercies, which are new, your grace, which was always there, with your hand always resting on us, guiding us in the moments, sometimes probably carrying us through the paths and ways in which you led us. Lord, we thank you for each and every single day when you sustained us, when you protected us, when you guided us. Lord, thank you for being the Lord of our lives in 2023. Lord, we thank you for many blessings that we have from you. Lord, they are all your gift. And I think all that we have in our life today is from you. The gift of life itself is from you. The gift of breath is from you. Lord, we thank you for the families that we have, for the homes we live in, for the shelter, for the food that we enjoy, and for the peace that we have in this land. Lord, we don't take this for granted, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all that you have done in our lives. Lord, thank you for leading us as a church this year, for the ways in which you have led us, for the many programs and activities that you helped us to accomplish. Lord, we are weak, but you are strong. Lord, through your strength, Lord, you help us and carry us through this year. And we are grateful and we are thankful. Lord, with hearts filled with gratitude, Lord, we bless you and we thank you for who you are. And we know that you will continue to lead us in the new year as well. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
I'm sure there's more notices than what I've got here, but Pam will put us right next week. Thank you. Service next week, it will be communion. And then on Friday, we've got art group. And then on the 8th of January, we've got our 50-plus lunch. Doesn't seem long ago, we was doing our Christmas lunch, but... yeah, and on the 12th, our care group starts back. So I hope you can all join us for that. We do have some good discussions of what the Lord brings us. The first reading is Luke 2, verse 15, and then verses 51 and 52. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." Then he went to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all the things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and in favour with God and man. And Paul is coming to read the second reading.
Good morning. Reading in Psalm 37 and verse 23, promise from the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 23. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, for the Lord upholds him, he will not fall. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. They're always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Thanks be to God.
In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heaven. And then in verse 7, it says, he has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the human hearts, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. It says, he has made everything beautiful. Sometimes we look through our lives and where we are today, and we can see that God has made everything beautiful already in certain areas of our life. There are areas where we are somewhere in the middle of that journey where God is taking us. We don't know if the journey will end or whether the next year is where God will bring fulfillment to some of the promises that he has given in our lives. But where we are today, we can just stand there and still know that he has made everything beautiful. In each and every one of our lives, he has done everything beautiful where we are today. And I think this morning let's continue to give him praise as we sing, all my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of your goodness. Thank you. feel the rest. But all we can do is with hearts filled with gratitude. Lord, we will follow you all the days of our life. Lord, we need you to be with us in the coming year as well.
We're going to take some time in prayer. And I'm going to give you an advance warning. Think of something, whether you want to share it with someone or you want to think about it by yourself, but think of something that you hope for in the coming year. And think of something that you thank God for in this year that we are finishing. I'm going to ask you in a moment to either say it loud to someone next to you, or if you're not that way, you know, think it out strongly. Put it in the frame of your mind. Put it in the front of your mind. If you're free to do so, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to say it to someone next to you, to verbalize it, and what you're thanking God for or what you're hoping for in this coming year. Now, the reading that Paul read for us, thank you, Paul, for that reading, where the psalmist says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him." When we have put our hope and our trust in the Lord makes the steps that we take. Everywhere we put our foot on, the Lord makes it firm. The Lord holds us up. Some it says, if it were not of the Lord, let Israel say, if it were not of the Lord, we would have perished. And so we're looking back in this year and saying, the Lord held my feet firm where I stood. I may have stood on ground that wasn't promising, or situations that didn't really go the way I would have wanted them to go. But let's see the hand of God. See how firm the ground the Lord stood you on. Though he may stumble, he will not fall. Though he may be challenged, he will not fall. Though he may face situations, he will not fall. The Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken. Look back in the year and see how the Lord held you up, or how the Lord held us up as a church, how the Lord held us up as family, how the Lord held us up in every situation and in every step. I ask us to hold those in our minds as we come to a time of prayer with thanksgiving to the Lord. We sang the song, "Give Thanks to the Lord." We want to say thank you to the Lord. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging for bread. We've had family time, or we are still having family time. Let's hold our families before the Lord. Let's trust God for our families, nor his children begging for bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing, and I extend that to more than children. I say our families. Our families will be a blessing. They will be blessed of God. And let's see how God has blessed our families. We may have people who are not Christians in our families, but let's see how the hand of the Lord was even working in them. Let's pray and trust God to work in their lives. Let's trust the love of Christ to attract them to the beauty of salvation. And so I've given you a moment, and maybe you may have some thoughts as well that came up as I reflected on that psalm. If you have something, if you want to share with someone next to you, either you are saying what you're thanking God for the year, or what you're hoping for this coming year. This coming year starts tomorrow, by the way, midnight. Starts midnight. And so we hold those in prayer. Go ahead and do that now, or hold that prayer in your thought, in your mind, as we begin to pray.
I'd like to just share that the Lord put a verse on me on my heart this morning. I was listening to Billy Graham, an old Billy Graham evangelist, and it was saying that one thing that people can't live with is hope. Hope, and this is the verse. And I'm always reading my Bible as I read my Bible. And I always call God, Almighty God, or Father Yah, whichever way I'm reading. Because God is such a generic term. Everybody has a God. But our God is different. Our God is the Most High God. Our God is the great God, isn't he? So I'm reading the verse, and it's from Romans 15, verse 13. Now, may Almighty Yah, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I really want to commit this coming year for us to, God the Father is in heaven. We say our Father was in heaven. Jesus is sat at his right hand in heaven. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to be the God of our age. He's the God of our age. And so my prayer for 2024, and keep telling us it's the open door. I don't know if people like us to tell us that 24 is the open door. And it's the open, and we want to open the door to the Holy Spirit, go there. Power of the Holy Spirit to come on, not only our congregation, but on this area. We are the nucleus of this area that God's placed us. This is where he's placed us. I never knew I was going to come to Wickford. I'm sure you never knew you were going to come to Wickford. Most of the people here, were coming to Wickford. And this is where God's placed us. This is where our church is, our body is. And we have to be the hope to the people around us. And so my prayer for the coming year is that the Holy Spirit will come in power and just bring blessing, not just to us, but to all this area. This is where we are. This is where God's placed. So that is my hope, that, we are bound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Jean. Thank you. And so let's hold those prayers in our heart as we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that every step that we take, every moment that we are alive, it's you who holds us in your hand. Thank you, Lord, that as we celebrate Christ over Christmas, is the birth of Christ. Thank you that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Thank you, Lord, that Christ, you say it, I will not leave you alone, but I will give you another comforter, the Spirit whom the world do not know, and he shall guide you, he shall lead you. As you lead us into the new year, Lord, we follow your lead. Give us the openness of heart and the openness of mind and the commitment to you that we will follow where you lead us. We will hear your voice. You say you will hear my voice that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Open our ears, Lord, that we'll hear your voice. Lord, as we become the salt and the light to those that we meet, our families, our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, neighborhood of Wickford, as we become the salt and the light along with other churches in this area, we pray, Lord, that your light and your life will shine and that we will not diminish your light. We will channel it through and give life and bread to the hungry. strength to the weary, and hope to those who do not have hope. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so the psalm that we read was a psalm that propels us into prayer, into thankfulness, and into trusting God for every step, even for the bread. He says, I've not seen their children begging for bread, even for our daily bread. Jesus said, when you pray, say, give us this day our daily bread. Give us our basic needs. If I was Abraham Maslow, I would say, food and shelter. Give us this day our daily bread, our most basic of needs. How God cares for every one of our basic needs. Amen. Amen. Now the second reading we took this morning is from Luke chapter 2. One of the interesting things about parenting is that when your child is growing, as a parent you catch up with them wherever they are. If they are little, you find yourself being interested in the toys and in the books, in the music, and in the movies of that particular age that they are in. When they get to 3 years old, 5 years old, 12 years old, when they get to teenagers, they think they can change the world. And you know, you thought that as well when you was a teenager and so on. Now, one of the, I almost said Christmas carols, but one of the, not Christmas carols, but nursery rhymes. One of the nursery rhymes that Mr. Buzzer used to like when he was, how old was he? He was about 5 years old. Had to have these CDs, put them in the car, 4 or 5 years old, put them in the car, and he would just start singing away. I asked him, he said he's forgotten some of the words to it, but he's left me remembering them, and he's forgotten them. You remember them, Mr. Buzzer, the grand old Duke of York? Interesting thing about nursery rhymes is that they teach you something, but they sort of put it in there and they teach you. The grand old Duke of York is physical exercise, you know. You know what? The grand old Duke of York, he had 10,000 men. He marched them up. See, you're at top of the hill and he marched them down again. And then they were up. And when they were down. And when they were halfway up, they were neither up nor down. You see, you do the exercise like that. When they were up, they were up. When they were down, they were down. And when they were halfway up, they were neither up nor down. Uh-huh. Now, in that period of time when I was learning that particular nursery rhyme, when Mr. Buzzer was teaching me and I was putting a CD in the car, I bought our Christmas tree, the one that we still have at home. He doesn't know when I bought it. Bought it 2015. We still have it. 2015 with all its decorations. Come Christmas time, we put it all out and it's still there. Actually, put it all out and all the lights and everything, keep it there. After Christmas, we fold it back together, put it in the box, seal it with the cellotape. The cellotape is getting older now. Just seal it with the cellotape. Put it up in the loft. And so when it's Christmas time, they were all the way up, they were up. And when after Christmas down, no, we fold it and put it down. In the summer, it's neither upstairs nor downstairs. We don't know where it is. I don't know if we came in earlier this morning. I won't mention a name. Someone said, wouldn't it be nice if we kept the decorations? And I was thinking to myself, and when they were up, they were up. When they were down, they were down. When they were halfway up, they were neither up nor down. We do Christmas time, we meet with family, and we get happy with family, and we enjoy being with family. And when the way up the, we enjoy being with family, it's the up time. After Christmas time, when they were down, they were down. Maybe at some point, if there is a Christmas, if there is a family gathering, neither up nor down. Some people do wonderful cooking Christmas time. They are up Christmas time and enjoy the baking and the cooking and that special time. After Christmas, oh well, okay, neither up nor down. Summertime, they are all the way down. You know, we can just get takeaway. We don't cook here. New Year resolutions. I said last week that I'm not going to tell you my New Year resolution. Remember why? I said because you might hold me to it. And I said I told one person what my New Year resolution was. She's already held me down to it. She's already asked me, how well are you doing? I said, how well I might break that New Year resolution before the New Year starts. Now, my New Year resolution is to go back to the road, do a bit more jogging. And I said, oh well, I've done 3 so far, so I'm still up and up. I did the park run. I used to do the park run. I used to do a monthly one. And when I was up, I was up. And then summertime, when the aches and the pains, and looked at my watch and thought, do I really have to? And then I was down and down. And some other time, I was sort of neither up nor down. I would every so often, I think about it and maybe I do it. And there's a serious point that I'm up to. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds say to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Moment when the angel tells them that you, in the city of David, in Bethlehem, a king has been born, and they are seeing a great light. They are in such a wonderful time, a wonderful moment. And the angels go back to heaven. And what happens after? And so the title of my reflection this morning is Christ After Christmas. What happens after Christmas? We were talking about the Christmas carols. This whole church was full. The chairs, we took the chairs out and we filled it. The whole church was packed. And when they were up, they were up. And when it was Christmas carols, they were up. Easter time, maybe, neither up nor down. What do we do with Christ after Christmas? What do the shepherds do? It says that they immediately said one to another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They acted on what they had been told. They acted on what they heard. Probably in churches up and down the country, these passages were read about the Messiah is born, about the Christ who is born, about the good news of Christ. What happens after the angels have gone? What happens after the readings and the carols have been sung? It says they made up their mind and said, we will go and see that which the Lord has told us about. We will not leave it until next Christmas time to hear another Christmas carol. We will not wait until it's Easter time that we have another reading about the death of Christ. But let us go and see what we've been told by the angels. I pray that God encourages us That we don't, I said last week that the bumper sticker that says a dog is not just for Christmas. Christ is not just for Christmas. Christ is not just for the festivities. Christ goes beyond. The shepherd said, let us go and see. Let us go and experience. Let us go and live. Let us go and walk in that which we have heard about. Let us take those readings, those carols, those sermons, those prayers. Let's take them into practice. The shepherd said, let us go. And they said, verse 16 says, so they hurried off. They didn't put it off until next week or next day. They said, at this moment, I will walk to where the Lord has told me to go. At this moment, I make up my mind. I will not do, as it were, New Year's resolution of when they were up, they were up. When the songs were wonderful and when the prayers were coming in and the readings were coming in, I felt strong in my faith. When the angels had gone, when it was time to make decisions, not to be carried in the moment, in the experience of the moment, but to make a decision to hurry to where the angel said Christ will be. They said, we want to experience this Christ, not just to hear about him, not just to sing about him, not just to read about him, not just to decorate about him, not just to go on holiday about him. Someone said, I've had my final work of the year, my shift of the year. Not just to enjoy the time off about him, but they said, let us go and let us experience him. Let us see him. And it says that when they got there, they saw Christ, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They found the fulfillment in verse 16 of what the angel said in verse 12. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. See, the shepherds could have stayed in the fields and pontificated about what they have heard from the angels and theorized about it and philosophized about it, maybe even sung about it. They may have said so much sitting out there in the field if they didn't walk and hurry to Bethlehem. They were not going to experience the fulfillment of the promises. They were not going to experience the fulfillment of verse 12. Because verse 12 says, you'll find a baby. But if they didn't walk, if they didn't make up their mind, if they didn't make up their decision to say, I will walk to Bethlehem, I will hurry there, they wouldn't have found the experience of the fulfillment of the promises of God. The promises of God are yea and they are amen in Christ, but only if you make up your mind to hold on to them. And you see, the rest of chapter 2 is interesting because we find that from verse 1 up to verse 14, we always read it. We always have that passage in our mind around Christmas time, but we forget about the rest of the chapter. If you go further to verse 19, it says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. We find the same phrase in verse 51. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. What happens after Christmas? Do we treasure these things in our hearts? Do we treasure these messages? Do we treasure these thoughts, these readings? Do we treasure Christ in our heart? Do we treasure his word in our heart? It says that after the shepherds had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had heard. What do we do? When we are up, we are up. But when we are down, we are down. We are not spreading the word. It says that they spread the word. They use their connections. I like how it's put here, actually. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the words concerning what they had been told about this child. They spread the word. They didn't spread their own minds. They spread what they knew from the angels about this child. And in verse 22, it says that when the time came of purification by the law of Moses, not only does Mary ponder these things in her heart, which is a challenge to us, how much do we keep these things in our hearts? Do they just go over our minds? Do these readings, these thoughts, these reflections, these motivations, even this energy, the energy with which we prepare for Christmas services, that we prepare for Christmas time, do we let this energy just go? Or do we ponder it in our heart? Do we preserve it? It says, as was the purification law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem. Not only are we talking about the goosebumps of the feeling of the moment, but it says that they followed the law of Moses. They followed scripture. Now there was a man, verse 25, in Jerusalem called Simeon. And Simeon, it says, verse 27, moved by the Spirit. Thank you, Jean, for that sharing earlier in prayer. Simeon was in Jerusalem. He was a righteous, a devout man. But it says he was moved by the Spirit to the temple courts. Not only do the shepherds make up their mind, but we find that the making of the mind is moved by the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, those that are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. We cannot always be led by our own thoughts, our own mind, but our minds can be led by the Holy Spirit. It says that this man called Simeon was moved by the Spirit, and he went into the temple courts. He went into a gathering place of worship. He was moved by the Spirit into the temple courts. Sometimes we hear the Spirit moving people to different places, but here we find that the Spirit moved him into the temple courts. How I pray that the Spirit of God will move us to a place of worship. If it means a place of gathering, pray that the Spirit of God moves many to this place of gathering, to the place of worship. He was a devout man in Jerusalem, and it says in verse 30, he said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." That is, we are moved by the Spirit, we see the salvation of God. We see Christ for who he is. Verse 36, there was a prophet called Anna. So it's not only the man, but there is women as well. It's everybody together. There was a prophetess called Anna. There was a devout man called Simeon. There was a prophetess called Anna. And it said about Anna that she was a widow, 84 years old. She worshipped and she fasted and she prayed. What a commitment, irrespective of the challenges. Only lived with her husband for 7 years. and then was a widow for 84 years. Yet she continues to worship, she continues to fast and pray. I pray that those circumstances that are challenging that we face will not take us away from the presence of God, will not blind us from what God wants us to do and what God wants us to be. Says that she was fasting and praying, waiting for the coming of the Lord, coming up to them. At that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Verse 40 and verse 52 are rather similar. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and with man. Sandwiched between those two passages is this passage where Jesus goes with his family to the temple, and when they are coming back, says verse 44, thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day's journey, thinking that Jesus was somewhere among them or was among other people where they were going. They traveled a day's journey. How often we travel thinking that we are with Christ, yet we are not. How often we suppose that somewhere in between what we are doing and where we are going, there will be Christ, yet we are walking away from him. Remember, they walked for a day's journey. But when they were looking for him, it took them 3 days. A day's journey without him took them 3 days to find him. Whenever we walk away from Christ, if you've seen somebody who was committed to the Lord, who walked with him, it takes a moment to step back. When they were down, they were down. But to then bring them back up again, 3 days for them to find him. I pray that we will not walk a day without him, supposing he is there somewhere. But every day, I'm good old-fashioned, and I don't make qualms about it. I'm old-fashioned in terms of daily devotions. I'm old-fashioned that way. Every day with Jesus, we used to sing it as a chorus. Every day with Jesus. Start every day with him. You may gradually lose contact with him and then find that it's even more difficult to build towards where you were, to build your walk with him. One day without him, and it took them 3 days to find him. Verse 40 and verse 52. The child grew and became strong. How I pray that we grow and we become strong. How I pray that you grow and become strong. He was filled with wisdom. How I pray that you are filled with wisdom. That we are filled with wisdom. How to handle circumstances. How to handle situations. And he was filled with grace. The grace of God was on him. How I pray that the grace of God rests on you. That the grace of God rests on us as a church, as a church family. And he grew in wisdom and in stature. He grew physically. You could see him from a distance. How I pray that we grow as a church in stature. And in the favor of God and in the favor of man. How I pray that as we grow in the grace of God, we grow in our fellowship, with one another, but also in our stature in the community. Pray that we be that city that is set on a hill, that the community will look up to, and that the community will find life and hope and strength in. Christ after Christmas. Amen. Amen. And as we come to the closing song, I'm on it, this one. As we come to the closing song, Because He Lives, I pray that we won't be like the grand old Duke of York. And I say that with due respect from Yorkshire men and Yorkshire ladies among us. That we won't be like the grand old Duke of York when it's a time of celebration, maybe Christmas, maybe Easter, or maybe a special occasion. We are up, we are up. And then later on we are down, we are down. And then at some point we are lukewarm, neither up nor down. Pray that we are not the grand old Duke of York in our faith. Because He lives.
Let's rise and sing, Because He lives. I don't think you want to really face up to us. Pray that people can roll into the happy life and come to us with a word of God by our side. We will be more than conquerors. Thank you.
And so as we close our service, let's share the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and we end our service here. Chance of tea and coffee? Yes, no, maybe? That's a nod. Tea and coffee is on today. Thank you. God bless.